CosmicRadio.tv. Welcome to Jump Point World Talk, the gamut of gaming topics. I'm your host, Roberto Villegas, completely and utterly losing his voice. Joining me today,
Charles
and
Michael.
And we're going to do a kind of a quick one. If you're new to the show, usually we'll talk about gaming topics and the game news and all the things that happened within that in terms of a conversational format.
But we are exhausted.
But today is a special day because this is the Sunday. About August what? August 9th?
Yeah, what is the day? Yeah,
August 9th.
No, August 9th, right? And we're just getting out of us, either one of us for all 3 days, four if you count day zero.
Yeah, that's
another
true.
Another one of us coming from just one day, another one of us coming from a little bit later.
One full rock on hard long day, yeah.
Of the Rooster Teeth Expo, or RTX 2016.
2015, man.
2015.
You are
2016
gone.
To 15. We went to the future.
I'm already planning on money saving and
we ran
and
into Christopher Lloyd and he took us to the future.
I'm already in the process of budgeting out for Rooster Teeth 2016.
That's fair. Are you going to do VIP this next year?
I don't know. I'm highly.
If you're
going to
start budgeting now. You might as well.
If you're budgeting now,
it's dude. This was fucking amazing. Like, I'm tired and exhausted, but
I don't think
shit.
I've ever seen anybody as excited about anything ever.
Well,
that I saw Roberto this weekend.
Oh my god, yeah.
Well, because what's funny about RTX, and this is sort of my thing, is that I know a lot of people who you are not the biggest Rooster Teeth fan.
No.
I'm an old fan.
We're just
old fans that stopped for a little bit.
Right. I was telling Michael this, and I've told you this many a times, and anybody who's listening to my other podcasts, I always kind of reiterate this. I really don't watch television. Like, I don't watch television in the traditional sense of, like people could talk about True Detective to me, and I have no idea what's going on. People could talk to me about other shows, and I'm not really that. If it's not on Netflix and Hulu, chances are not going to watch it. Like, I live more on watching YouTube series and YouTube videos and online series.
That's most people I know.
But no, that's the total opposite for me, is that most people I talk to, it's all about TV stuff.
That kind of, like, we hang out around a lot of people that, like, watch so many movies and TVs that's just what it is.
Right.
Like, whereas, people that I know from, like, high school, they're the opposite kind of thing. Like, they're a lot like what yours is. They watched a lot of YouTube stuff, although they don't entirely just watch our, like, Rooster Teeth stuff. They also watch, like, the Best Friends, the Game Grumps, like, all these.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no.
Like, they have, like, but it's very much just a YouTube thing. So when they talk to me about all these YouTube things, I don't know what they're talking about.
Right, and whereas I'm well aware, and because, you know, the RTX thing, first and foremost, this year is fucking huge.
Oh, it was massive.
45,000
different areas.
And I kept misquoting. It was 45,000 people.
Thousand, yeah, 45,000.
Three locations. It was insanely fun.
Every year they grow by like 200%.
Yeah, and I think that's what I loved about it was it was this conglomerate of people. And this is the thing I kept saying to people as I would talk to them, because there'd be I think at one point I'm in line, I'm always chatting with somebody in line because I can chat with somebody in line. That essentially everyone's there for the exact same reason, you know, and we all can kind of say certain things and we all understand each other either A, through a various reference, or B, through just sort of common dialogue, a video game, stuff like that. Like, what's funny, even people who were there weren't necessarily gamers at all. Like, I actually had met two individuals that came from Cape Cod, and they weren't even gamers, and they like loved Game Grumps and like Funhouse.
That's actually really amazing.
Right. And they're like, in fact, one of them kind of played games, and the other one's like, I can't even operate an Xbox controller. And it was bizarre, but she knew exactly who the Game Grumps were. She was a huge fan of the Rooster Teeth stuff. Like, when she saw Gavin and specifically, it was Gavin and Dan and the Slow-Mo guys. It was at the K1 event on Thursday. She cried because she was like just so kind of fangirling out. It was adorable. But
yeah, I took my sister to many, many anime conventions, and she would walk in and she would say this phrase. She would say, "I'm with my people." Yeah. That's what you got to love about a con is that's everybody there is there for something you love.
That's very much how I feel when I go to specific things. Like last night, I was at the Double Toasted anniversary party.
Right.
And I walked in and I immediately got like complimented on my Goku shirt. Mm-hmm. And we all talked like I talked to people that I'd never met before. Like we knew each other for a long time. Like just randomly. Like we were just like you said, we all just sort of knew something specific and we just went with that.
Yeah.
Or like the same with like if I talk to somebody at a comic convention about comics, like we'll have a heated discussion about something, even though we've never met each other in our entire lives kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of the thing of RTX. And this one was a really special one for a lot of reasons. I know we all kind of respectively had hit the expo floor a lot, but only some of us really explored it in detail.
I wanted to stare in more detail, but that's not how conventions work a lot of times.
No, not at all. For me, because we didn't get a chance to bump into you and I were there on Friday, but Charles and I on Saturday.
We did
and
all
I
day.
And I revisited again Sunday the Monty Ohm kind of tribute booth.
I didn't even get a chance.
Ruby animation. And things playing, and literally you could sign on, and I actually left a message or two. I almost wanted to leave two, but I only left one because I felt it'd be kind of ill-putting if I put two there. It felt kind of, you know,
Michael,
selfish.
Did you check out the red booth?
No, I didn't have a chance because when I was at the expo, it was a lot of me trying to find another friend of mine, and B, we were the time it took to do that, we needed to go be somewhere else kind of thing.
I see.
Yeah.
And I was only there on Friday, so I wasn't able to see everything. Like, I saw what I could, like, because I knew I was like, I only have so much time right now. I didn't even, like, I wasn't even the one who originally bought this badge kind of thing. And I only paid, like, $20 for it.
Right.
So I was like, well, I'm doing what I can do for the amount that I spent kind of thing. Like, this isn't, like, if I didn't plan anything. I was just like, my friend asked me, like, the week before. It's like, hey, do you want to go to RTX for, like, $20? I was like, of course I would.
Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't
like,
you?
I'm, like, why do you think? Do you think the answer is no?
Yeah. Like, what else are you gonna do for like it's a Friday? I'm off.
And then
or whatever.
I forgot like the entire like I didn't realize how much was going on this weekend.
And then of course Charles here. How did you bought a weekend badge?
And I used it for one day.
Right. Because
really?
Because explain your story.
I just
and this is coming from the guy that picked up his badge on Thursday. By the way.
Yeah. No. Well, before I get into that. You know what? I'll get into that later. I don't know. Work got in the way.
Yep.
Had a bunch of I had
life got in the way.
Life got in the way.
Okay.
And I didn't get to the expo until after badge pickup, which I think is stupid.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
I walked up to the registration. They were sitting there, three people, three guardians that were on duty. And I go, hey, can I pick up my badge? And like, no, you can't pick up your badge. But you can pick up Lost and Found. So they were at the booth. They had all the stuff. They just wouldn't give me my badge. So I couldn't see the Master Pancake thing on.
Oh, that sucks.
No. See.
Yeah. So that sucked. And then, I mean, I had a good time on Saturday. It's turning into the same reason I don't enjoy Akon. Is it's just gotten too big.
Happens to every convention.
But
though.
You see, for me, what I like about this versus like an Akon and where your issue is that it's big, but there are multiple things happening at multiple places.
Well, the same thing at Akon, but this one is more focused.
Yeah. I think that's what I like about it a lot. And I realize that it's huge. And it feels daunting to you because you only really spent a day. And I dragged you to a lot of things because you had really no concept.
Like, hey, do you know this person?
Nope.
That's the hardest thing about going to any convention is that you're not 100% sure what everything is going on.
Right.
And it's like even if you plan ahead of time, you get there and then it doesn't always work out.
Right.
Like when I like every the last anime convention I went to. I was like, well, I'm going to try to see so-and-so, like, let's try to see Johnny Young Bosch, or I'm going to try to see the Team 4-Star guys or whatever. And then you find out that it's like, well, the line's, like, ginormous, and it's like, well, fuck, what am I going to do
right.
for, like,
and
the next,
they,
like,
and the
half
they,
an hour
right,
kind of
and
thing.
The way that this year they mitigated the signature lineup, and I think
which accidentally fucked me over.
Well, because you didn't know. And
I
think
know,
what's funny is that all of this information, Charles, got
yes.
emailed to you.
I didn't have any of this because I was annoyed about
no,
the
No, it did. Trust me. I have.
You've seen my email. Okay.
Well, because I got the same. Creeper. I got said email. So
okay. Okay.
Like if you bought yours from Frontgate, I got an email from Barbara. You got an email from Barbara. Everyone that was part of the
the email where they weren't going to mail me my badge and all that.
Exactly. That's all yes. in that email.
Yes.
And ironic. In the email, what it's you don't know because
I don't know
because
I wasn't the one who bought the badge.
Right,
originally.
Exactly. So you had no idea. Or else and that's I fair. Known. The email stated that this year for signatures they were going to sell sort of free, you know, give you a coupon to sell digital tickets, kind of to get them. The reason for this being that the way it's worked in years past has been that lineup concept, and what has happened is that lines will go. Will be these long, obscene things,
and they're only there for like an hour and a half,
and they're not even and it's not it becomes this sort of like you're in line for most of the time, and that's like that can't operate like that at a con.
It's getting so much bigger. Like this is it's massive. Like they literally have three buildings.
Yep.
For this thing, like I couldn't like even though I found out, I couldn't blame them in any shape or form. Like I was mad, but then it was like well. Like I didn't really think ahead kind of thing. I didn't really have anything going on.
Right.
It was like everything that I did that day was spur of the moment.
Right.
Kind
Whereas
of stuff.
With me, you know, I had downloaded the app early. I had looked over the schedule.
Yeah,
when
like
they
the earliest
it.
Thing I did was I downloaded the app that morning.
And like
that's
I had done a lot of searching because of the fact that I mean for me and I get where your issue is when it becomes too massive, Charles, that it becomes a sort of thing.
Well, it's just it's a wait in line convention.
Right.
Well, that's every convention.
That's every
I've
convention.
Ever been to,
and I think that's where the difference goes is that you know, and I understand the appeal of a small convention. I understand
not every convention. The Austin Comic Book Convention or Austin Comic Con. Is no lines
because
no one's there.
Because that convention is not a great convention.
Yeah.
No.
And you start to learn because ultimately what happens is the ones that are the quote unquote wait in line conventions are the ones that have shit going on. And what's funny, and again, I dragged you to events where we're waiting in line because those are the big events.
Yeah.
There were other events going on that we could have gone to that we wouldn't be waiting in line in, but it would have been things that you wanted to see. Like, in other words, had we not gone early and waited in line, you know, applied the wait in line convention, you wouldn't have seen fucking Dude Soup. You would have always seen
amazing.
The Funhouse Boys.
We
wouldn't have been part of the Cult of Peak.
Well, last year I went to a lot of the smaller panels to learn about – you know, just content creation in general.
Yeah.
So the more like informative panels, you know, not everybody goes to those.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
it's the personalities that people go see.
Yeah, and then there were, and what's funny is that at the convention there were a lot of informative panels too.
Every convention has those informative ones that like that they're really interesting if you're into it.
Yeah,
but like that's the very reason why there's not that many people.
Well,
at them
ultimately, I really wanted to go to a couple of them.
Like when I was at an anime convention, like one of the panels was just like how to fix your cosplay suit, and I'm like, I'm like, I got time to kill, might as well find out.
There were a couple this year that I kind of wanted to go do panel wise. I may watch the post of it if they were streamed. Like there was a poser, you know, poser animation kind of panel. There was a lot of later today. There was and I didn't end up seeing them, but there was a lot of like how to get into it, you know, game streaming and Twitch and you know, growing your followers and stuff like that. So there are those panels at RTX 2. We just didn't go to them because, you know, I was trying to maximize as much as I can. Ultimately,
yeah, there's like three buildings that like two of them are right next to each other, whereas one's like what, like 4 or 5 blocks probably.
Yep.
Away, like in the middle of like 100 almost 100 degree weather.
Right.
Like you have to like figure out how much you want to go outside,
right? But even that aside, ultimately, and I think this is where I've adapted, and maybe Charles, you have not. I mean, even though you know, I've accepted that. Ultimately, I am not going to see it all. I will not see all that goes on here at RTX, and I've accepted that. I accepted that a long time ago, my first year, just like I'm not going to see it all. In fact, I will be honest, I saw more this year than I saw my first year because the fact has been at three locations.
Every convention, eventually you get to the point where you have to accept that you're never, ever going to see every single thing you want to see because it's one of those things where like not only with the amount of lines, the amount of time it takes you to get from one spot to the other. Like, there's some conventions where it's like, okay, I want to go to this one event, but this other event I want to go to literally starts, like, right after this one event ends, but it's on the other side of, like, wherever you're at kind of thing. Like, you have to accept that you're not going to see everything, because, or else you're just going to, like, just be mad the whole time. Like, that's the only way to really enjoy a convention, is that you have to understand right away that not everything is going to work out the way you planned. You just got to go with the flow, essentially.
Yeah. And ultimately, it
is... And take in your surroundings is the other thing.
Yeah, and again, it's... For me, it's not just simply the Rooster Teeth stuff that I'm into now. Like, I think I might start watching Game Grumps now. And
it's really good.
It's really everything. And again, for me...
Well, Actually, the funny thing about Game Grumps is I still really like them, but I felt like they kind of went downhill at one point. But that's because the original Game Grumps was two different people.
Well, because I...
Not two different people,
I honestly,
you know what I mean?
And this is what's funny. I knew one of them had been known as Ego Raptor. And the thing is, I knew about Ego Raptor...
Well, knew who Ego Raptor was at some point.
Well, because I knew him during the old Newgrounds days.
Yeah, like he was the biggest, one of the biggest Flash animators at the time.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
we've gotten to the point now, whereas if I go on YouTube and then somebody watches one of his old videos, like I'll see a comment going, "I don't know, Aaron did this."
Right.
And then you realize it's like, wow, we've gotten to a point where Ego Raptor is now known as Aaron instead of the other way around.
Right, exactly. And that's sort of why, you know, I wouldn't mind catching up on that stuff and things like that. But, yeah, for me, Charles and Michael, this was my thing. And I was...
Yeah, and you were so excited. And I couldn't blame you in any shape, way, or form.
Yeah, like a giddy schoolgirl would have been like, calm down, dude. Calm down.
I saw a dude dressed as Ruby, and I was just like, well, at least that's not what he's doing right now. And you want to know what the funniest thing is? He looked really good in it.
Yeah. No,
did you get a confused boner?
Well, he actually, like, the guy had actually, like, somehow made it look like he had boobs. So maybe.
Yeah.
Say it again. Say it slower.
Slower.
By the way, there were some amazing cosplays this year.
There were amazing cosplays.
I saw a freaking Sheik, and that was awesome.
I saw the Hayabusa Halo 3 armor.
Yep.
I saw a guy sitting in the throne, like, the Minecraft throne.
Oh, the Minecraft gold.
Yeah.
The Mad King throne, as it's called.
For a second, I thought
or
that
the
guy...
King throne.
It was so good. For a second, I thought that guy was a robot sitting on that throne because he was moving very slowly.
Oh yeah,
and then then he got up right after that. I was like, oh shit!
Yeah, most of the Halo armor was top notch. I've been to conventions where it's like,
they're like clearly like the really cheap Halloween one, or
it's just you,
or there's something
made,
off about
you
it.
You made that, and you don't have any skills.
Yeah
there's a
yeah,
lot of those.
A lot of the Spartan armor and Halo armor that happens at RTX.
They're gold.
They're all really top-notch people.
Because it's like, because, you know, they started with Red versus Blue, which is how I, like, how far I know them mostly.
Yeah.
And then, like, I stopped doing RTX Rooster Teeth stuff for a while. And apparently for, like, what, I think it's like maybe no more than 4 or 5 years, a shit ton changed on me.
Well, because I introduced you, Charles, to now your new, I first and foremost introduced you to your new favorite channel. We'll talk about that in a second.
I'm not super into On the Spot, by the way.
Oh.
I ended up watching a bunch later.
you're not into it?
No, I said I'm really into it now.
Okay.
I ended up watching a bunch of them right after, on Saturday when
I
go home.
I introduced you to On the Spot. I then introduced you, Charles,
Funhouse.
Yes.
To
Funhouse, for sure.
Funhouse, for sure. Yeah. Another one that for sure.
Yeah, but I introduced you to $1 million, but
that's
what's
pretty funny.
So
explain it to
what?
So here's the concept of the show. This is all based around a Gavin Free constant joke that he'll do, constant kind of bit he'll do in the podcast. Like, he'll always Gavin Free's a big hypothetical question person, to the complete and utter dismay to Mr. Gustavo Cirola, or Gus on the
Gus
podcast, right?
Guster,
the Gus awesome person. Anyways,
fun fact: me and Gus grew up in the exact same city.
Wow,
Del Rio is a terrible fucking place.
And Gus is Gus, and you're Michael.
Yeah.
How terrible do you feel now?
Not a lot.
We're working on that. But anyways, so here's the preference.
That's weird. I got a nicer beard than him. No, that's not true.
you gotta drink more beer. Equal beer. Anyways, so here's the premise of the show.
There's a devil dog barking outside.
There's a devil dog outside, but he will probably not the microphone. Anyways, so here's the concept.
We should go interview him.
Here's the concept, goddammit. The concept is that you have that the question goes like this. All right. You get $1 million, but hypothetical situation to earn $1 million.
Which is just
these just
if
sound
you
like,
accept it, this thing happens.
This yeah. just sounds like Kobayashi Maru is all
well,
it is.
It is, but it's not like it's like you get $1 million, but you gotta suck a guy's dick. It's things like this. It's like you
oh,
get
so it's not as fucked up.
No,
it is, but in a like a I'd say more it's a playful more friendly manner? Way.
like yeah. for example, one of the ones that they've done that they have on it was like you get $1 million, but every time you hear the happy birthday song,
oh, gosh.
You have to eat the cake that's there.
Every single time?
Every single time. Every single time that you hear the happy birthday song and there's a cake present, you have to eat the cake.
Is it only $1 million?
So the beauty yes. of it is then they dig into...
Then maybe.
Like, if you did accept it, what is going to happen? So let's say you do hear that birthday song. You have to eat that whole darn cake. And let's say you're able to fit it inside your body, right? You hear it again and there's another cake. What do you do? How do you get another cake in your body?
My question is, does it wear off after you've spent the money?
No, I see.
Then no,
but
then.
Anyways, but yeah,
there's only $1 million.
Right, but then
it's way more than
right,
that, sure.
The kick of the show is that because this is a production company called Rooster Teeth and they have cameras and shit like that, they'll like film a little short thing around it and sketch it and everything else, and it becomes this really, really funny kind of moment of watching it and that, and because they're kind of humorous, they'll talk out the story and whatnot.
Would you guys do that?
No. I'm serious. That's the beauty of it.
But that's the beauty of it, is that...
But yeah, the production value is super high.
I have to... Like, what was it called again?
$1 million butt.
B-U-T.
Oh, $1 million butt. Okay,
see, when
that
I heard $1 million butt, I was like, I want to see $1 million butt.
$1 million. That's what, I thought you guys said originally.
$1 million butt.
Yeah, if you have, like, that's what you need that comma real badly.
Yeah, well, that's why it's called $1 million, comma, but. B-U-T. But yeah, no, it's but yeah, I introduced you to that
yeah,
show.
That was I need to watch
really,
this.
Really funny, really funny.
I have to watch this though.
And what's great is that because like I am in this world of everything, and I do watch everything. It's weird because I am now the odd version on a Rooster Teeth channel that I consume everything on Rooster Teeth, including, you know, their animation stuff and Red vs. Blue and their Let's Play stuff and everything else. I'm the odd one. Because there are now people on, you know, Rooster Teeth, and I was, you know, you talk to them that don't consume everything, that only are like, you know, only really are there to see the Achievement Hunters, or are only there to see Funhouse, or are only there to see, you know, maybe the Patch or something. I don't know, but it's become like that kind of thing where you have everything there.
All
like,
it is that you're the super fan, and you meet the regular fans.
Yeah,
and then they're not 100% sure what you're talking about,
which is fun to be the super fan again, because usually that's sort of my thing. Is that usually when I get into something, I dig into something in a big bad way. But what's great though, being that even those like regular fans that aren't like I don't really watch it, even like they know those memes still. Like it's funny. Like
you just have to spend a lot of time on the site itself, I assume.
Well, it's not even so much the site itself. It
or
almost,
or their Facebooks and their Twitters
not,
and
not
stuff.
Not even it's
like
more
to see all these memes.
It's well, you see a joke, but there's some memes.
I'm not joking. I'm saying this is a thing that happens a lot.
Yeah,
that's how I know about Monster Hunter memes now because
well,
of like Facebook stuff.
When I say that you have to spend time, I mean more or less like. If you do not watch the show, you might not get this joke. But if you're of Rooster Teeth and you watch another part of Rooster Teeth junk or show, that may come into
just
it.
Just bleeds in.
Yeah, it just bleeds in. And that's sort of what happens. And not even, and I don't even watch exactly everything. I watch enough of a chunk than that. But I mean, it's a point now where Rooster does so much stuff that you don't have to watch everything and you can still enjoy their content, you know?
Yeah, all my Rooster Teeth knowledge
is
Red versus Blue references.
Yeah.
And so when I got the badge from my friend, we talked in Red versus Blue quotes for like an hour.
You would have actually liked one of the Guardians that was in line before the expo today because he had a sign that said the end is nigh, and he was and of course the end is nigh is a reference to everything else, but
yeah.
He was actually looking specifically for the season 2 quote by the I think it was the Blue Zealots. I forgot the Red and Reverse Blue, but there's a point in season 2 where they're traveling through kind of different
like dimensional things,
different like dimensional hooks within.
I have the flag,
right? Exactly, and he was looking for the whole like repent the end.
Yeah.
That whole
I would have definitely done that.
Right, and he was looking for that line to say, and it was such a funny thing. But, you know, I was like, oh yeah, and that's not the season 2 Red versus Blue.
I still love the like we're talking about just our some of our favorites just stuff, and the one that I always brought up was the when Andy the Bomb. when he's trying to calm him down. He's like, just think happy thoughts. I kind of just want to explode right now. Okay, no happy thoughts. It's like, why don't we try counting down from 10? God damn it, Caboose.
Yeah.
I love that. I miss watching it.
I remember that stuff. So.
Yeah, they're like, there's a lot that we can remember, but the problem is that, like anything, if you don't keep up with something, you're going to get left behind. Like, if I stopped reading Spider-Man for, like, a year, there's a shit ton I would have missed.
But ultimately, for me, RTX fun. We did, however, while we're there, Charles, you and I specifically. Maybe you and I did, but I know Charles and I at least did. We did see some indie games we liked.
We did, and I wish I could remember the name of the moon game, the moon or the planet roguelike.
I'll look up the app and see the exhibitors.
It's this cool game. It's a mixture of Mario Galaxy and Risk of Rain, and I love Risk of Rain, and I like the mechanics of Mario Galaxy, especially how they implement it, and just really cool, fun, looked like a game I would enjoy. I definitely died, but it's not like Risk of Rain, where it's just like infuriatingly hard. Like,
oh, okay,
I like the music and the gameplay, but it's once you die, you start over, and it's just like.
So it's just like it was challenging enough to where you weren't like throwing something at somebody,
exactly,
but not enough not easy enough to where you're like, well, this is too easy.
Yeah, it wasn't a breeze through. And
it was like an old Nintendo game, is what you're saying.
What
at least like challenge wise.
Yes, I mean it looked like one too. The big mechanic is going from planet to planet. They all have their like little gravity.
Yeah,
some are close enough where you can actually jump, but most of them you need to do a boost off, and you get this little laser pointer that you can use to say, okay, I want to go that way. Well. Those are limited. Your fuel is what they call it. So you try to go to planets that have fuel deposits, and I'm sure it gets to a point where it's few and far between. And I guess you can. I don't know what happens if you run out of fuel. They didn't. I don't know if they said if you just get stuck on a planet, what do you do, right? And you can also fly off into nowhere land, where I think I forget
nowhere
how
land?
They like you can just launch off and there's no planets.
Oh, okay.
So you could potentially float forever. I think they kind of bounce you back. But it didn't seem like that's what you want to do, right?
Yeah.
So I look forward. I don't know when they said it was coming out.
Yeah,
but
I'll find it because the company is Triple Lasers.
Triple Lasers.
Yeah, because I remember the name.
I want to say it was maybe three developers total, maybe four. Yeah, there was two or three there, and then there was.
Roberto, do you know when the Laser Team movie comes out?
Fairly soon, but give me a second to keep finding this damn game.
I'm just curious because I wasn't sure if you knew or not.
No, I'll give you a second to find this damn game before we keep talking, because I'm like,
yeah, I mean, that was pretty much the only game we really played.
I mean, I played a lot of stuff, but
yeah, we'll talk about them if you.
Yeah, yeah.
If
I'm just trying to find the damn game. Give me a second to find this freaking game.
Yeah, all I did on Friday,
I found Ian Birch, the developer, and he was showing off Moonstrider is the game.
Oh, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah,
I think I walked past that, but I didn't get to see it.
It was good.
Yeah, because we end up seeing again, of course, I think that the guys that are making Capsule
something.
Capsule Force?
Capsule Force, yeah. Capsule Force
was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I remember playing that one.
That one's fun, but...
A while back.
I think it's releasing very soon, but it's like, come on, guys. It's not that complicated of a game.
It's not a complicated game at all.
Well, you never know.
It's fun.
They were showing it off last
year. You can make it complicated, like, if you try hard enough.
The greatest thing that Ian had told me, the guy that made Moonstrider, that I found so fucking amazing, and I was... And I gave him props. Was that he told me, and this only makes sense if you're like into indie games, specifically roguelike games. That his game, Remy played his game. I always pronounce his first name.
Does he know Kinetic Energy?
I forget his first. I always pronounce his wrong name because I think it's Remy.
That's okay. Just keep going.
Ismael, the guy that does Vlambeer games. And he actually played the game and approved it, and so it's a joke. It's Vlambeer approved, which is actually really fun. Vlambeer Games, famous for their current game that's in production, Nuclear Throne, which is an amazing, over the top roguelike kind of twin stick sort of game.
Oh, okay.
Fun stuff. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff we saw game wise. I'm right now actually going through all the cards to kind of things. We saw some stuff from Wonderfling Studios. I think those are the guys that had this sort of... Let me make sure, because I think this is the guys that had sort of a DOS-like kind of platformer game. And I just want to make sure that I'm thinking of it. And they had a couple other other stuff they're working on. I just want to make sure that I'm thinking of this because there was a lot of stuff that went on, and I'm basically trying to make sure that I'm thinking correctly that this is the game. Yes, that it was. It was the game that it was KR17, and it was definitely it definitely looked really really fun and really kind of cool. In terms of stuff, so there has been a lot of fun games. I played a lot. I mean, I played a lot of the games you did, but you played the freaking. I think it's called. It looks like it's called KR17. Is
oh the little robot one?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw that. I don't know at some convention either last year or earlier this year.
Yeah, here it is.
That one's actually available.
Yeah, Terrain Saga KR17. That was the game.
Okay, yeah, that one's the one that just reeks of like early 90s.
Yeah.
It very much looks like that.
Yeah, it was fun.
Early 90s PC platformer and just lots of nostalgia there. But it also well done.
Yeah, we also saw a couple of very interesting just random video game stuff that you end up buying. I think it was... for your wife.
Yes, I got some paraphernalia.
What did she? Did you? What, to tell her what you bought.
I bought a Silver
Eagle.
You got
Super Mushrooms. Wink, wink.
No. I got a Silver Eagle from Fallout. No, not Fallout. Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah.
And she just grabbed it out of my hand when I gave it to her. She was very excited. And then I bought two Super Fight decks, which...
Oh, that's better.
Yeah, they're there.
I definitely had buyer's remorse with those because I got The Walking Dead, which is straight from the comics.
Oh, it's the comic version?
Yeah, so I'm halfway through the comics.
So, okay.
I knew maybe like four of the characters.
I learned why that's the case, why the comic ones. They're now... who's the publisher for Walking Dead? You know more than I
Image.
Do.
Image, yeah.
Image. But it's... what is the company that the guy that makes The Walking Dead, he started his publishing company. It's like...
Oh,
he started his own? Wow.
Shit, I don't remember the name of it.
Well, it turns out like that... Like I was at Super Fight Game, their website today, and I'll tell you what the company that publishes it... And this
Kirkman!
Will,
Robert Kirkman is the writer.
Yeah, Robert Kirkman is the writer.
He's the creator of it.
The company that publishes it now is specifically Skybound.
That's right. That's what it's called.
And Skybound is Robert Kirkman's company.
That's right. It's on the back of the box.
Yeah. Exactly. And so
I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. And so because of that, that's why I lean towards the comics. It isn't because like the TV show. It's because they have the rights now to do that kind of stuff. And I mean, they always can make parodies stuff like that, but this is very much a structured kind of thing and everything else.
I really want Kirkman to do something with Invincible, real bad. Like I would love anything Invincible related, like a figure, an action figure, something Invincible related, I would buy in a heartbeat.
But yeah, so they, yeah, of course the Super Fight guys were there. There was all other non, I mean, gaming sort of.
There's like you know, Crunchyroll and yep. stuff there, like with their people having contests and stuff,
yeah.
like win an Xbox or.
And you know,
meet, or
and
win
in the
year free of yeah. something or the other,
and in the AAA space, you know, Rainbow Six, they had some Rainbow
Six.
Yeah,
they had that little what was it, like a tournament they were going.
Yeah,
in?
They had like a little bit of that, but you could like I got a card for it, and everyone that was like attendant got a card to go there.
Yeah, I used the beta code like immediately because I was
yeah.
like, oh, Rainbow Six, I love it so much.
No, yeah, and of course, they actually.
I almost waited in line for that tournament, but I was like, I don't want to spend my entire time playing a game.
No,
here.
For sure, and I know you, Charles, had ended up giving away yours to a mutual friend of ours, your Rainbow Six beta invite.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But that was enough where he's like, I want to get the beta for that, and like, well, you have a card that gives it, like, it came with our set of stuff. So it was really kind of cool, all the things that happened and stuff like that in terms of things. I mean, because ultimately what's great about this convention is that there's enough people at the expo you can buy stuff for that are not Rooster Teeth related.
There's a lot of stuff, but like any convention, you need to have a lot of money.
Do you have the card for the thing that I love.
Yeah, the other thing that we saw, this is like I said, gaming Exodia was especially.
I love it and hate it because
it
makes me want to buy a 3D printer. Like, so, makes me need one.
So the company that's doing it's Boardcraft. There's actually a Kickstarter going on. I don't know if it's still kicking in.
I think they were about 2 weeks in.
Oh, were they only 2 weeks in?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was going to wait this till this week I got paid. It is. I think it should be bit.ly/necrovirus or just look at boardcraft.com if something is happening, you're hearing this late. Essentially what they're doing is
genius.
They're making these sort of digital models, right, that will end up going 3D printers that you can either buy printed or not, or print them yourself. And the idea being that this is you've ever seen like the really professional kind of like, you know, tabletop RPG maps that you can purchase, like those plastic things and whatnot.
Yeah.
They made a system where you can essentially print that shit on your own, interlock,
oh, really?
and they're interchangeable and things like that.
That's badass.
And I was talking to the guys there, and we were both communicating with them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I point to Charles as I realize we're doing fucking audio only.
Quick, explain what I'm doing now.
He is doing something that we can't explain on television.
I will explain what he was doing using a Rooster Teeth reference. Has no breaks.
Yep, everybody knows. Everybody who knows what I knows. Everybody knows.
It has no breaks. And if you need to be explained about,
I still don't know what's happening with
the
that.
The fuck train has no brakes. That is a Ray Narvaez Jr. quote. Ray Narvaez Jr., of course, is now a famous internet streamer. Anyways, so we were there about it, and, you know, like, it was amazing seeing all these plastic stuff, the 3D printing things, and I was like, all right, I know you guys do fantasy stuff, and everyone knows fantasy, and it's awesome, and I know that's the market to target. Don't worry, I'm not going to hear judge you and be like, guys, is like, why aren't you doing this? Like, I understand that. Is there any plans to do any science fiction stuff? He's like, yes, there's totally plans. We're working on it. The files are already there, too, and everything like that. And then Charles and I had...
What got me hard was the zombie.
Yeah, they actually had a full board game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just broken down buildings and burned up cars, and I got really aroused.
Right, but what was funny was that you then had a conversation with like the guy who had a 3D printer, and we heard the price of a potential printer, and you started, you know, specking, could I actually buy a 3D printer?
I was even doing that with my wife today. I'm like specking, like, how many of these things would I have to sell if I made enough board game friends to where it would be where I could eventually like at least pay off a good chunk of it, and I'd have to sell a lot.
And I honestly told you this: I would pay for plastic and time that you'd want me to spend on it, to print things on your thing. Like, I would help you pay off that thing in chunks.
And you could print so many different things with one. When I was in high school, we printed a Moon Knight figure with a 3D printer.
Well, I've just never gotten excited about printing like a figure or like my face,
right,
or something like that. But seeing this, I was like, okay, I was finally getting excited about 3D printing.
Because
you always think of like, I can print the back of the remote if I lose it.
I had a friend make a golf club with one.
Well, then,
like, straight up.
Wow.
Like, when we were in high school. Like, he designed it himself, and then he printed it.
See, that's where it gets... that's what gets me excited, the idea, because I always had this concept for it, but I never could figure out how to design it.
Right.
And let alone print it. I've always wanted to make... Because I actually have a lot of these Moo cards, like business cards and whatnot, I carry on me all the time. And I usually keep my wallet for kind of convenience, but I always thought, man, it'd be kind of... You know, usually during conventions... I'll have my bag on me, my messenger bag or something like that. And I've always wanted a Nintendo cartridge, kind of, you know, blank one that's sort of hinged, if you will, that you could open and it'd be specifically made to hold, like,
a single card or something like that.
A certain amount of cards, like, you know, set up where it holds, like, this many Moo cards, this many this, whatever, like, however it can be.
That sounds awesome.
And I've never been able to design it because I'm not great with designing those sort of things.
Yeah, it's a pain
in
the ass.
I sure as hell don't have a 3D printer. And I was like, Charles, if you ever got one, I would, like, if you want to be the person even CAD, I would commission you to design it.
Yeah. When I was in high school, I had to learn how to use the 3D printer because I was taking an engineering course at the time. And I had to I had to measure a small, like, wooden train, change its proportions so I could 3D print my own version of it.
Nice.
And I fucked it up, like, royally.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I accidentally, like, typed in the wrong numbers on one or two of them.
No,
like,
yeah,
it took me, like, two or three tries to get it to work.
I took one CAD class, I took a Maya class, and I did a lot of 3D stuff in my free time. So, yeah, I could design some stuff if I
Yeah, I forgot, like, everything.
We'll talk after this, nothing more than that. But we also saw some board game stuff, too. We saw this, like, Steve Jackson games were there, and they showed some of these, like,
They had this, like, was it zombie golf?
Yeah, something weird like that where you're flicking dice and whatnot.
Yeah, instead of using the dice to roll, you would place, it looked like, I'm just going to guess, but it looks like you could place little targets on a table.
Yeah.
And then you would flip the dice or
something like that.
Tiddlywink style the dice to get it to land into one of the targets.
Yeah. Hey, what was that last thing you just said?
Tiddlywink.
I don't.
That is an actual game.
Yeah.
I will explain.
I don't know what that is.
It's okay. I know exactly what Tiddlywinks is. You don't have to explain it.
Okay.
Well, you'll have to explain
it
to me later.
Afterwards. But anyways, you're flicking dice no matter what.
Crappy little game.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Okay, just keep
going.
But
that one looked really, like, I'd never thought of, like, hey, let's use the dice as a ball in a way.
I'm amazed no one's done that. Or not.
And honestly, also this morning, while I was waiting for the Funhouse Let's Play there at the main stage in the expo, which, by the way, I hope that was recorded.
Okay.
Because they played the spiritual successor, if you will, the sequel, if you will, to Manhunter, Chernobyl.
Oh goodness,
Chernobyl Soldier, whatever the fuck.
Oh my.
Oh my God. You know, we always give Adam a hard time for, like, the games as a joke. Shit be broken. It was so much fun watching them play this kind of game live and just seeing.
Was it fun broken? Like,
oh, it was fun broken. Okay. It was fun broken because, like. Like, there was a point in the game where the gated thing was get in the car and shoot from the back. And, like, the car did a loop and, like, traveled at the end, like, 20 feet. It was fucking funny. It was so hilariously stupid. It's just like, why the fuck would you? Anyways. But before that, because I had kind of burned some time and I was kind of sitting around, they had the professional griffball tournament.
Griffball.
Which was actually, like, kind of fun.
God, Griff Ball is so much fun.
Well, it was enough where I was like, fuck, I kept watching this. It was a pro player's play. I was like, maybe I should get into Halo 4 if I can play Griff Ball.
I remember the first time I played Griff Ball. I think it was Reach, because they're the first ones that actually had an actual playlist for it.
Because Reach was the one that introduced the Forge, the actual level editor.
No, 3 had Forge.
Was 3 had Forge?
Griff Ball started in Halo 3, but there was no official playlist for Griffball until Halo Reach.
Okay, right.
And so that's how I played it.
Okay, I thought Reach introduced Forge. I guess 3 did as well.
Yeah, 3. Oh my God, the stuff that you can make, like the stuff we used to do in Halo 3, Forge was amazing. Like somebody made the house from freaking I Am Legend.
Okay.
And so you would have like you'd play like a game of zombies there. It was amazing.
Okay,
nice.
Yeah, it's one
of
my favorite things to do. 3 was where they started doing Griffball. I thought it was almost like they did it.
It's fantastic. Like, it's one of the craziest, like, most fun I've ever had in, like, a non-shooting playlist in a game.
Yeah, and it looked super fun, and the pro tournament was, like, you know, again, the best of the best players, if you will.
Like, there's no greater feeling than immediately getting the ball and then punching the other enemies to death to get all the way. Like, somehow surviving all these hammerheads.
Yeah,
just like,
army,
pow, 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 and you're like, ha-ha!
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, it's fucking magical.
Yeah, no, it was definitely fun to watch, and it was kind of cool to see it.
And you're colored like Griff when you have the ball. And that's amazing.
Right, yeah, awesome. Exactly. But it was interesting watching it, for
Griff
sure.
Griff is my favorite Red versus Blue character, by the way.
For sure, of course.
Him and Church.
Voiced by the ever-popular Jeff Ramsey.
Church is my favorite.
Him and Church are my favorite, too.
Epsilon?
You see, I am so out of the loop.
No, you don't even know about the Epsilon thing?
You don't even know about Epsilon.
What season is this?
This is like, what, 6 or 7?
That's okay.
Okay, I think I fell out around 4 or 5.
We'll get you back into RVB.
Because
I'm a little behind. Like, I'm right now behind on season 13.
I'm behind by, like, I think, like, 3 or 4 seasons.
I'm behind by about 3 or 4 episodes.
I'm at 8. I was like, the last one I saw was, like, 8.
I need to catch up on
the beginning of 8.
I need to catch up on season 13, because they showed a couple of stuff with Carolina that I had not seen yet, like in the clips. I'm like, fuck, I need to see what the hell, how we
Who
got
does
there.
Does Joan Earlier play again?
Joan Earlier plays.
I think he's one of the Dakotas, right?
Yeah, it was either North or South. I forget. He'd have to be North, because South was a female.
The last time I saw it was around the time that started.
Yeah, that was.
And then I lost my internet for 3 months.
That must be,
and
yeah,
then that's
then
when
you,
I
then
stopped.
Then you dropped off at about season 10.
Okay, so I
Project
started
yeah,
at the beginning
was,
of it.
Yeah, season 10.
I'm not that far behind at all.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, because Project 10, season 10 was Project Freelancer, where you had the Dakota. Well, maybe. Was there animation?
What do you mean?
Like when I say, like, were there crazy?
You mean like the Monty Ohms fight stuff? Like it was the season right after it first started.
Right after first started?
Because the first time...
Okay, then yes. Because yes,
it was season 10. When the warthog, like, flying then, through the wall
then,
thing.
Then, yeah, you were...
Like, I watched right after that season,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, because season... Then yeah, then season 10 would be it. Red okay. Blue
then
season
I'm not
10.
That far, yeah,
no,
not
yeah.
As far as
season,
I
season 11 was the beginning of the Korra saga, the Korra trilogy, because this is we're in the... We're in the third part of the Korra saga, right?
Yeah, because I started...
I keep
saying
saga,
the trilogy. Because it's Washington, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because like yeah, right after... season 9 was the one that kicked off animation.
Yeah.
Season 10, Project Freela, the freelancer kind of stories.
Yeah. Then I started 10, but yeah. Then I lost my internet for 3 months, yeah. And then that's when I stopped watching Rooster Teeth.
Yeah, that's
because I was like, I'm behind, and I'll worry about it later. Because at the time I'd finally been introduced to the idea of listening to a lot of podcasts.
Yep.
So I couldn't keep up with both anymore.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, well, it's going to be one or the other for right now. And then I stopped watching anything.
Oh,
Rooster
yeah.
Teeth.
Whereas
related.
Me, I had dropped off for a bit, came back with vengeance. And the funny thing is, I'd always been like a Rooster Teeth fan, but I'd been kind of auxiliary away from RVB. And I'd kept up with it a lot. And then kind of Ruby came in, and that sort of, you know, hooked me back into all this stuff. And I just kind of stayed, but like, I'm a bit behind.
I remember when Ruby started, my friend showed it to me, and then I was,
oh, yeah.
I couldn't get into it right away. And then I just never watched any of the rest of it. And I feel like I should have.
Yeah.
But I hate that I didn't, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I feel like I'm really behind on that one.
It's only two volumes. It's you as an anime person will really dig it. I think you as an anime person.
Yeah, because I saw I guess it was the first one.
Yeah, volume one.
They're like the very first episode when it first came out, and I was like, what is this? Because at the time, I was just like, this is really, really odd.
Well, because what's even interesting about this now, and this is also was announced there, and we're pretty much out of time in terms of our short episode discussion.
Yeah, this one wasn't going to be very long.
But what was cool at the Ruby panel, which I'm going to watch later on tonight, They did, of course, a couple things like that. They actually announced some interesting stuff, like Monty Elm's brother will be taking over voice acting for Ren, which is really, really awesome and heartfelt.
That's very heartfelt.
It's very, very cool because like they actually talk about the panel that, you know, he's not a professional voice actor in any capacity, and there was Monty for that reason. But he's trying his best, and like it was so touching. And they actually had a moment of silence at the beginning of the whole thing. And because, you know, they explained all the stuff going on, and the crazy thing about Ruby, and I think this is where, you know, Charles, you and I have talked about this, and I've talked about this many times, why I look towards, you know, Rooster Teeth as kind of an example of how you do a production company right. Ruby is the first American anime, if you will, to be dubbed in Japanese.
Oh, wait, really?
What? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how we are with Rooster Teeth.
Crazy.
Like that.
That's
we
crazy.
Did not know that.
Yeah, they actually talked. They actually showed the trailer with the actor. They also announced who was coming in on the U.S. side and for new characters. And you might want to check on the news because like some of the voice actors are the guys that did Attack on Titan. And
oh wow,
like that. Like,
well, they are like there are many. Funimation is in Texas. A lot of people don't realize this.
Well, even like Michael Jones now, one of the voices of I forget his character he does on freaking I think Sun, I think his character, up the check. I mean, he's now a legitimate voice actor for a couple of animes in the W side. But yeah, this is the first American anime, if you will. You know, I say anime for a reason because it's very much an anime in the spirit of that.
Oh, very much so.
That's dubbed in Japanese. And it's fun to say that. It's fun to say, guess what, bitches? We have one, too. And it's dubbed, motherfuckers, in your language. You deal with this shit. You complain if you want.
I'm picturing Japanese people having arguments between dubs and subs on that.
Yes, yes.
They're like, oh, the dub is way better. They're like, fuck you, it's the subs.
Yes.
And I want to see that so bad.
but that's where we're at with this.
Since it's 3D and digitized, are they going to redub it?
I don't know.
Are they going to like fix them?
No, it's just, I bet you it's going to be.
Are they going to be cheap about it, or are they going to go back and fix edit the files re-render?
It's not so much being cheap about it. It's just that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like that's changing their mouth a little bit.
I mean, they try it with the American dubbing is to try to get like, okay, we've got these certain amount of mouth movements. Let's see what words can we fit in here.
I don't know. They'll do that like most likely, but they're not going to like.
go back and read.
They're not going to re-change a bunch of shit on it.
That they need to. Okay.
Like, I don't see them doing that just because that's a lot of work. Like,
it's still the limitation of you.
Because unlike it be most animes are, since they're 2D, if you did something like that, it would be really easy to pull off. Whereas this is very much a 3D animated thing. Like when they had to change the voice lips to Shrek, when Mike Myers decided that he wanted to do a different voice, like that cost him like $4 million.
Wow.
Okay. Like just to do that. The one time.
Right.
Like they're not going to do this for an entire show.
Yeah, so you never know. And ultimately, regardless, like, again, it's they get a little bit better because it's Poser in terms of like speed of rendering, but I wouldn't know. Again, I have to check the panel and hear all the details like that. But the point being, and the point I was trying to illustrate is like that is how big Ruby is.
That's crazy.
You know, and if you don't know that, you're like, oh, it's just this internet thing. But when you put the idea that, oh, in Japan, it's being distributed by Warner Brothers of Japan. Oh, it's being redubbed in Japanese, an American anime. I mean, yes, American animation, of course, has been redubbed in their respective languages, but an anime, the thing that comes from Japan, of Japan, if you will, is being distributed on the reverse angle of it. Like, there is something kind of beautiful and magical about that. And I think, you know, as kind of a final thought, I realized all we talked about was RTX stuff. And this
there's nothing entirely wrong. That was the entirety of what we did this weekend.
Yeah. And I realized that normally, is RTX isn't really all gaming. A lot of this was birthed from like that culture, you know.
Rooster Teeth is an accidental internet freak of nature.
Yes,
it started off, and if you would have asked anyone the one it started that this would be one of the biggest things in like the world, no one would have believed you.
Yeah, no.
Like hell, when I got introduced to Red versus Blue, I'm like, this thing can't be that popular. Like, it's great. Like, I loved it. But this is probably like one of those cult following kind of things. Like, I'm not gonna hear about this that much.
8 million subs on YouTube
and
later.
And then fucking like, yeah, what like almost 10 years later is what it feels like.
Ten years.
It's been 10 years.
We're a little over 10 years.
Yeah. 10 years later, like. There is a convention with 45,000. 1,000 is what I'm saying right now.
Yep.
45,000 people.
From around the world.
From all over the world.
If my street pass.
My 3DS was like, I'm the guy from Scotland, a guy from Australia, a guy from like fucking like somewhere in Africa.
If my street pass was any indication, there are people from Japan, from Australia. There's an RTX Australia now.
Yeah. There's an RTX in Australia now.
You know, there is a lot going on. It's so...
And this all started in Buda.
Exactly.
Buda, of all places.
It's so fun to see from my perspective as a guy that, you know...
People don't live in Texas don't even know what Buda is.
Yeah. Well, no, it's fun to see from a guy like me who... And guys like us who are, you know, right now making content and trying our best to make it as professional sounding and as good sounding and as high quality as we can, to see somebody that started at like our level get to that.
Right.
You know, to this.
And they were even lower than that, though. I feel like they were even lower than our level because there was no level at the time.
That's true. But anyways,
there was
no YouTube at their level.
Right.
They've paved the way for us.
Yeah, and that's sort of why, you know, like you wonder why I'm giddy. It's really that. It's a lot of this, like, I tend to get energized and recharged and sometimes even get inspired at times and things like that. And it's so fun because, like, it really is the convention I look forward to, not because I love Rooster stuff, which I do, but because I look at this and I go, that's where I want to go. Maybe not that big per se, but it's like that's the target. That's where you aim for. You aim for this where you have not just because everyone loves it or anything like that. You just this is where you aim for in terms of ambition and things like that. And it always amazes me seeing it as a fan.
Nothing is bigger than Rooster Teeth when it comes to the internet. I really don't see anyone surpassing them ever.
I think we'll see people.
Well, don't say stuff like that.
Yeah. We'll see. Ultimately,
I'm saying that because even like the biggest internet stuff that's like around now is not even close to them. at this exact like.
I mean, ultimately,
like Game Grumps is huge.
Yeah,
but they don't have a convention for themselves.
But I think, But I think what's fun. Like,
I don't see Aaron doing
what
that.
What I like about this, and what I like about Rooster Teeth and stuff like that, is RTX has now become more than Rooster Teeth stuff. Like, not just their other channels, but like Game Grumps is not of Rooster Teeth. Even before Funhouse was there, they were part of Inside Gaming Machinima, because Funhouse they weren't Funhouse. You know, it became
right.
later. And such, but we are out of time. We have gone over our.
We could talk about this
forever. We could talk about this for hours and hours.
But
and
Roberto's about to pass out.
But I'm
this
about
exact
to crash and get some sleep.
Roberto's got his head in my lap. Go to sleep, sweet prince.
Charles, Michael, thank you so much for joining me at RTX when you guys were there at your respective days, and coming with me on this fun weekend filled adventure. Michael, where can people find you online, sir?
You can find me on the internets at Michael X Riojas on Twitter. You can also sometimes find me on YouTube late to the Let's Play, and you also can find me with these three, or these many times to come with these two guys and Rosa, and I'm looking forward to it.
Totally. What about you, Charles? Where can we find you these days? Because you're doing stuff too.
Yeah, find me on Twitter for sure, Charles Rubeck, and send me a tweet. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll be starting up some podcasts once The Walking Dead starts up again.
Yeah.
Fear the Walking Dead starts up. So, look for me there. I'll, when that comes around, I'll mention it more.
Yeah, totally. Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 on the Twitters. If you want to follow this show on Twitter, you can follow us at Jump Point Pod. Of course, you want to check out our previous episodes if you're new to the show. Maybe you want to catch us talk a little bit more on gaming news versus convention stuff, RTX
and Tiny Toons Adventure News,
things like that. You get over to our website, cosmicradio.tv/jump point. If you're on iTunes, hit that big old subscribe button. Give us a rating of your choice. We read
I
those
feel
all
there. Inspired now for some reason.
So, as you should. But of course, you can listen to us anywhere you'd like. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on the web, we're everywhere. And usually we're live on YouTube. YouTube.com/CosmicRadio.
You hired those crazy people in the corner to talk about us. You don't know it yet.
We're usually live on our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/CosmicRadioTV, at around 6:30 p.m. on
Central.
Are we doing
on Sundays.
Exactly 6:30 now?
Roughly around 6:30.
This is news to me too, people. I'm just kidding. It kind of is at the same time.
Yeah, it's okay. Normally we'd do it at 6:30.
You can tell that we're all tired.
Yeah, we're like I'm exhausted right now, and I'm basically trying to get to this because this is. You know, this is the.
Go to sleep, sweet prince.
It's almost over, Ruben. It's almost over.
So until next time, people.
Sproing.
Okay, get off my lap, please. I can only get so erect.
It has no brakes, apparently.